Rat Pack, where you at?
That dance is so hot right now.
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, November 19th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. We have 3 weeks left in the fantasy football regular season. And, well, things are starting to heat up for sure. Hopefully you're still in it. Again, if you aren't in it and you're listening to this podcast, shout out to you. But you might as well also go over to ftnfantasy.com. I'm going to tease this out today. All right. Normally I say promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Just saying, you might want to wait just a week, because obviously next week's a big shopping week, right? A little thing called Black Friday, right? And the week after that, Cyber Monday. Well, FTN is probably going to have something. Just gonna tease that out there, all right? It might be good. Just going to throw that out there. Just let it marinate for about 6 days, just give or take. All right, anyway, let's get into it. So today on the podcast, I want to run through a few injury notes. Obviously, we're going to talk Monday Night Football here at the top, and then we'll get into the top 10 waiver ads of the week. Actually, some quarterbacks up there this week. I have three in the top 10. It's that time of year for sure. So anyway, let's get into last night. Well, it kind of went as we expected, and I dig when games go as we expect them to go. This was a blowout. It was a blowout from the jump. I actually, over on my SiriusXM show, said Joe Mixon first touchdown, Joe Mixon two touchdowns. Well, he ended up going for three, but both of those wagers hit. So, hey, I'll take it. Mixon was an absolute monster here. 20 for 109 and three on the ground. And oh, ho-hum, 2 for 44 as a pass catcher. Hopefully you didn't face him. Hopefully you were starting him or you just avoided it outright, but he was tremendous. And he's been tremendous with the exception of last week. That was the only game where he was somewhat bottled up, but otherwise he's just been awesome. Now, I do have this notion of older players, especially at running back, who tend to fade during the course of the season. And we did see Mixon get banged up. But, you know, I'm going to take a close look at this because obviously we have Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey, like some of these elder statesmen. And I think it's an interesting offseason project to take a look at not only them, but like Aaron Jones is another one, although this wasn't a great week for him. But let's look at what average age of decline says after this season, you know. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, I talk about this with criteria for dynasty. Basically, I'm trying to be about a year ahead of the decline of players at particular positions. That way you can maximize as much value as possible. Now, obviously, some guys are going to buck the trend. Derrick Henry is like the prime example right now, but I'm curious if anything has moved there. I doubt it has, but it's always worth experimenting with these things and checking it out. And Mixon's having a hell of a season. Now, granted, it is only mid-November, and he's got to make it through December, but the way that he's been playing, I don't really have any doubt that he's going to. The only thing that can stop him, obviously, is injury. And here, knock on wood for you right there. He has 100-plus in all but two games on the ground. One of those games, he had 90 scrimmage yards. The other one was the game he got injured in. So he's been really stinking good. That was the only game he didn't score a touchdown in, too, by the way. So we keep talking about Derrick Henry and the touchdown prowess. Joe Mixon's right there. You know, it's been a hell of a season for him. We did get Nico Collins back on the field. Unfortunately, they didn't have to do much in the passing game, so he only catches 4 for 54. But the good news is he was out there. He looked good, and they're not all going to be blowouts like this down the stretch for the Houston Texans. Coming up next, they have the Tennessee Titans. It's a divisional game. Same with Jacksonville. Even though they aren't good teams, I think they will give them a fight. We don't know if Jacksonville will still have their coach at that point. Miami, KC, Baltimore during the fantasy playoffs. Those are tougher. Well, KC and Baltimore especially are tougher. And Baltimore is a Christmas game. Remember, we got Wednesday games on Christmas. Oh, boy. Should be fun. Same stat line. Same exact stat line for Tank Dell in this one. So again, better games I think will be ahead for both of those guys. especially Nico Collins. No reason to panic. The good news is we weathered the storm with the injury. We know how good he was at the start of the season, and I don't, those skills aren't going anywhere. Nico Collins is going to be just fine. CJ Stroud, I think we knew he was risky to play here. I hope we knew that. So you got 257 and an interception, and that's really it. Moving to the other side, Cooper Rush did throw for 300+. He threw for 354, had a passing touchdown. It was a long touchdown. It was a catch and run to Kevontae Turpin. But this was what I was talking about when I said, hey, you know, there is at least something here. We've seen Cooper Rush before. If you have CeeDee Lamb, I wouldn't be panicking. And Lamb was just fine, 8 for 93. In a game where he doesn't score a touchdown, I'll take 8 for 93 all day long. In fact, Lamb helped me get a little bit of a Monday night miracle last night. So I'll take that all day long. We did have an early concussion for Jake Ferguson. So Luke Schoonmaker stepping in. The Michigan product had 6 for 56 on 10 targets. I have this hypothesis that, you know, essentially it's just, you know, next man up in this group, and they're just going to be used heavily in what Mike McCarthy does. Schoonmaker furthering that point here. I don't know the extent of the Ferguson concussion. We never really do. But obviously, if he missed time, then yeah, Schoonmaker would probably swing up into the top 20. Is he a guy who I'm stumbling over myself to pick up? No. There are a lot of other interesting tight ends out there this week, including, I think, at least one I'm going to mention here in the top 10. You know who that one is. We talked about him yesterday. Let me see. Do I have? No. Jonnu is just outside of my top 10, and same with Will Disley. So I'll just mention those guys now. They're not far off. Otherwise, I think those are the big things. So Cooper Rush, if he keeps the job, sure, I guess he could put up enough points that if you're desperate in one of these bye-mageddons, then you could potentially use him. They are playing, you know, they get Washington this week. They get Cincinnati in week 14. They actually have the Giants, too. Oh, boy. That's actually not a bad stretch of games for Cooper Rush. All right. Well, there you go. Carolina after that, too? Wow. Then they get Tampa and Philly. I don't like those two, but this is a really nice stretch of games for the Dallas Cowboys, shockingly enough. All right, let me move over to Thursday night football for this week. So we have the Cleveland Browns in the mix. A bunch of players on the estimated practice report. Just a word to the wise. You know, the first practice report of the week isn't really going to tell us much. I know I say that a lot, but really, especially when it's an estimated. So don't freak out too much here, but the Steelers and the Browns will be playing in Cleveland on Thursday. Njoku, estimated limited. Elijah Moore, estimated limited. We actually got some word from Kevin Stefanski that the Thursday night football game was part of the reason why we didn't see a lot of Nick Chubb in that contest. I mean, I would have to imagine game script was also a big reason why we didn't see a lot of an early down back and basically a blowout. But regardless, there is that at least. I can't see any reason to really like Nick Chubb against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it is a divisional game. I always have to go back to that. Divisional games are weird. We saw Cleveland play Baltimore really tough. I wouldn't expect them to just simply roll over here. There is a lot of chatter about Stefanski potentially being on the hot seat. And Mike Vrabel, you know, he's going to be a hot coaching name. Obviously, Belichick's going to be the hottest name on the market. But there's a lot of buzz for Vrabel, and it's like the reason why there's buzz, obviously he's not like a brilliant offensive or defensive mind. It's a culture thing. It's like a Dan Campbell thing. You want to bring in a culture to a building. A lot of people view Mike Vrabel as the guy who can do that. So there is that. Jaden Daniels, according to Dan Quinn, is not injured right now, which is good. I mean, he'd been playing through the rib issue, so if that is all healed up, then maybe we're trending in the right direction. I did call into question after last week's game, the Thursday night game, whether or not we can just lock him in as an every week starter. Now, that's obviously a concern if you've been rolling with him. But, you know, looking to the Commander's schedule here, you know, let's just put everything into context, because I do think there are plenty of times where, yes, we do look at him and just say, yep, we're going to lock him in. So this week, you do get the Dallas Cowboys. I don't hate the matchup. I honestly don't. There are obviously parts of the Dallas defense that are awesome. But then the Tennessee Titans, they can play tough. I don't mind it, though. You get the Saints after that. I love that. You get the Eagles. That's going to be tough. And then you get the Falcons. And I actually love that. So it's like an up and down kind of hit or miss. You're going to have to pick your poison with that one. The nice thing about him, though, is, you know, if he is fully healthy, we've seen what the ceiling can look like with this kid. So at least you have that ammunition going into battle with him. And it is nice to hear that he is healthy. Darnell Mooney, the hamstring issue that he suffered that forced him from this past week's contest, not considered serious, according to Jeremy Fowler. But that still doesn't mean he's not going to miss any time. So we have to keep an eye on his practice status. Mike Evans, back in practice. So kind of what we expected. That was the pathway here. And, you know, that's kind of where we're going with all of that. By the way, Atlanta is heading into bye this week. So your byes this week are Atlanta, Buffalo, Cincinnati, New Orleans, the Jets, the Jaguars. So big time bye week. Speaking of the Jaguars, Gabe Davis will be out for the remainder of the season. He has a meniscus injury, that according to Doug Peterson. We have the Carolina Panthers coming back from bye. They will start Bryce Young. Jonathan Brooks expected to make his debut. Adam Thielen also expected to play. I'm not interested in Adam Thielen. I'm curious of what they're going to do with Brooks. You know, if I'm in a regular size league, especially if I'm in a shallow league, I'm not rostering Brooks right now. I just don't see any point to it with the way that Chuba Hubbard has played this season. But if I'm in a deeper league, I mean, the rules don't apply. Like, I normally, when I talk about leagues, I have to generalize, right? So I talk about leagues as, you know, sort of your regular size, six bench spots, that sort of thing, regular starting requirements. He's not worth it there. But if you're in an eight bench spot league, if you have deeper starting lineups, if you're in a 14 team or a 16 teamer, of course he should be rostered. Of course he should be. So we'll see what ends up happening with him. Marshawn Lloyd, activated from injured reserve. He could be very much buried. I don't know. The roster moves are going to say everything here, obviously, for the Green Bay Packers. Do they waive Chris Brooks or Emmanuel Wilson? And obviously, I think the waiving them would be with the intention of getting them down on practice squad. But we'll see. We'll see. Marshawn Lloyd's probably more of a, you know, let's look forward to what we can see out of him in 2025. Couple other quick notes before I get into waivers. So one of actually last week's biggest waiver pickups, Aldrick Estime, did not do anything this week. Hopefully you dodged that one, didn't start him. I do think he continues to belong on benches because we have to see what happens going forward. But Sean Payton said we'll figure it out each week, though, and plan accordingly. Okay. And this was regarding running back usage. I figured we had some Belichickery here. I don't think this was, oh yeah, Aldrick Estime 1 week and now we're back to Javonte Williams. I think it was game plan based. I don't know if there's any common thread here between, you know, the fact that Williams blew up against the Saints and then he had a decent game against the Falcons. Like, is there a common thread to the NFC South, or am I just creating a narrative there? And really it's something else. I don't know, but I don't think we're done with Aldrick Estime. By the same token, I don't know if we can trust either of those guys as anything more than a let's close our eyes and start and flex type play. Gardner Minshew will start for the Raiders again. Obviously, Denver is going to be a prime defensive streamer. They're widely rostered, but they're out there in enough leagues that I think you could potentially see them on your waiver wire. And then a few things with the Giants. So Daniel Jones has, in fact, played his last snap with the Giants, and that makes total sense. He never took it to the next level. They would be on the hook for $23 million if he tore his ACL this week or next week or whenever. They'd be on the hook for $23 million, and that's not good. So they're going to let him, you know, they'll let him go. They will cut him, I'm sure. I highly doubt they'll find a trade partner. He'll go elsewhere, and then maybe he's a backup. We'll see. But it is not going to be Drew Locke. It'll actually be Tommy Cutlets here. Tommy DeVito getting the start. We could still see Drew Locke at some point, but DeVito will at least be the starter this week, and maybe a few weeks going forward, we'll have to see. So there is at least deep super flex value. We had originally heard from John Mara that the regime was essentially going to stay in place, meaning Joe Shane as the general manager and Brian Daboll as the head coach. Well, Jordan Schultz over at Fox Sports said, quote, while ownership has suggested he'll return, There is a growing sense that Giants head coach Brian Daboll is coaching for his job over the final seven games. We do have a number of guys in that position, by the way. So already two jobs open. We know probably the hottest seat right now belongs to Doug Peterson. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Like, we don't know if they're going to let him go through the whole season and fire him or if it'll happen during the season. But, you know, I don't think there's an advantage one way or the other here now if you're the Jaguars and you're staring down potentially picking first overall yet again. Going division by division. So in the AFC East, Gerard Mayo, I would say, is his butt's a little hot. You know, the Jets have obviously fired their head coach. I think Mike McDaniel's okay. I do think the Dolphins actually close out the season reasonably well. So it would be Gerard Mayo. Over to the AFC North, I think you have both Zach Taylor and Kevin Stefanski on hot seats. AFC South, there is a talk of essentially a one and done in Tennessee for Callahan and then Doug Peterson on the hot seat. Shane Steichen, maybe. I don't know. They make a push to the playoffs, I think, and possibly get in, slide in as at seven. It's going to be interesting to see who gets to seven. So they're 5-6 right now. The Raiders, yeah, we could see Pierce as a one and done. So that's a lot of teams right there already. Over to the NFC, Brian Daboll hot seat, Mike McCarthy hot seat. NFC North, let's see. Yeah, I would say Flus is probably still on the hot seat. I do think the Bears finished reasonably well, but there's been a lot of chatter there. NFC South, Saints already fired their head coach. Tampa, that's an interesting one. Tampa's actually kind of interesting. I think that Canales gets another year with Carolina. I actually think they, you know, maybe they're a 5-win team, something like that. They have 3 wins right now, and I think that's enough. There is Kyle Shanahan hot seat talk locally in San Francisco. I don't see any way that happens. I think that would be lunacy. That would be utter lunacy. So there are a lot of jobs that could potentially open up. This is pretty interesting here. All right, let me get into waivers and give you the top 10. Of course, if you want the entire list, how many are there here? I'm asking you like you're going to answer me. 44? Yes, there are 44 options in this week's waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com. So let's rip through them. We'll go bit by bit here. Some of the guys at the top, obviously, they may not be available. Well, one in particular, he shouldn't be available, but yet he's under 70% on both ESPN and Yahoo. Number one guy for the week, Juwan Jennings. It'd be a 50 to 100 right now. I'd spend everything potentially if he was somehow out there. I don't see how it's possible, but again, I have to stick to the 70% threshold. Number two is Taysom Hill. Okay, I'm going 10 to 20%, and he is about 50% rostered if you look across the industry. We can't simply assume you have one great game, therefore every single game going forward is going to be a great game. How can we not assume that about Taysom Hill? Because we've seen this before out of Taysom Hill. Can he do things like this? Yes. Can he also get you 3.5, you know, PPR points in a given week? Yeah. He go out there, he has a few carries, so he gets 6 carries for, I don't know, 24 yards, no touchdowns, and he has a catch for 12 yards or something like that. And, you know, there you go, like 4 PPR points, whatever. So just be careful with Taysom Hill. Like, yes, he's going to be top 10 going forward in tight end, well, at least this week, but just be careful. Don't go too overboard. Jerry Jeudy, 7 to 15%. He blew up. I've been talking about him for weeks here as an ad. Obviously, that's a ceiling game, but he has a decent floor. He's a wide receiver 3 going forward. Jaylen Warren, 7-15%. He's out there in enough leagues, and a lot of people need help at running back. He's explosive. He's also won Najee injury, although Najee never gets hurt, away from a bigger role. All right, you ready for quarterbacks? We got 3 of the next 4 are quarterbacks. Bo Nix, 7-15%. Yup, Bo Nix. I mean, he's been awesome, and I think we're now basically in every week starter territory with him. I mean, I can't guarantee that because I don't know what each week's rankings are going to look like before I sit down to do them. But he has really trended up and, you know, favorable schedule as well as we head towards the playoffs. Now, the playoffs are a little different, but as we at least head towards the playoffs. Justin Herbert, also 5 to 10%. I have Christian Watson in between them. Maybe let me talk about him first. So Christian Watson, boom or bust, but the boom is so good. And I've loved the way that Dontavian Wicks has sort of faded into the background in the middle part of the season. Watson is really interesting, and especially because he's over 50% available. You know, Romeo Doubs is out there as well. And I think he's fine to roster, but he just doesn't give you the ceiling. Like, Romeo Doubs is in this week's waiver tool. I just don't have him as a top 10. So Justin Herbert, as I mentioned, it looks like he's in back-end quarterback one territory again, which is great. You know, the team is playing well. He looks good. He's comfortable. Everything seems to be working there for Herbert, so really like that for him. And then Anthony Richardson is the last of the three. Now, obviously, he has the most risk. When you compare him to Knicks and Herbert, significant risk. He also has the highest ceiling of them. Anthony Richardson has, like, QB1 in fantasy, number one overall potential, but he also could be number, well, this week, 26. He could be number 32 if all 32 teams are playing. He could be the best or the worst. And yeah, I guess somewhere in between, but a lot of times it's boom or it's bust with Anthony Richardson. Now, he was widely dropped. He's available in 56% of ESPN leagues, 59% of Yahoo leagues. So in a one quarterback league, I don't hate the idea of swinging for the fences, but you got to realize if you swing for the fences, you could also strike out with Anthony Richardson. All right, two more wideouts to round out the top 10. Not a good running back week. Not a good running back week this week. But the two, Xavier Leggett and Rome Odunze. So two rookies here to round things out. With Leggett, I mean, he slid through waivers in a lot of leagues last week with them on bye. So 60% available on ESPN, 64% on Yahoo. Adam Thielen is going to be back, but Leggett is the Panthers' wideout to roster down the stretch. Like, he gives you the most juice, most bang for your buck. And I actually think Bryce is going to be fine down the stretch as well. So I don't think he's going to be amazing, but he's going to do enough. Like, how Cooper Rush sustained value for CeeDee Lamb last night. Like, that's, I think we're going to have enough here to sustain value for Xavier Leggett as a flex or better going down the stretch. And why Rome Odunze? Well, hey, he led the team in targets with 10 in week 11. This happened when they changed their offensive coordinator. I don't think that's a coincidence. And I don't think it's that outlandish to think that a rookie is going to start surging as we hit November and then into December. We know how talented he is. A lot of folks had him essentially right there neck and neck with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. So why not? Now, he's fairly widely rostered. He barely makes it. Well, he's 70% on Yahoo, but he is 57% rostered on ESPN. So chances are if you're on ESPN, you may have a better shot of getting him. But it's worth adding him. You know, this is like firepower. This is ammunition. This is the time of year where we want high ceiling, you know, and guys who actually look like they can approach that ceiling. Rome Odunze has that look right now. Now, granted, you know, it was one game and Caleb Williams still needs to start throwing touchdowns. But the fact that he looked Odunze's way 10 times that led the team in targets was very encouraging here in week 11. All right. So on to week 12, tomorrow I'll have the podcast up on the FTN Fantasy Football podcast feed. Remember, if you're not subscribed to that, that's how you get me on Wednesdays through the course of the season. We'll talk the latest news. We'll give you some thoughts on how that impacts rankings. And we'll be back here on Thursday. Big time injury day, obviously. This week's going to be very tricky with six teams on bye. So we'll try and navigate those waters. And then Friday, we'll break down the remaining games on the slate with some thoughts on Thursday Night Football. So we'll keep rolling there. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Blue Sky at Jeff Ratcliffe, and of course on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe as well. FTNFantasy.com is the website. Go check it out. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.